Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
The action is at the plate. Tyler O'Neill, the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Cubs win. Cubs win. Albert Alzolay saves it for the second day in a row. The Cubs come back multiple times in this game, and on the strength of Cody Bellinger's 4 RBIs, they beat the Cardinals for a second straight day. This one a final 8-6.
Still get an opportunity to hear Matt Spiegel's voice on Hit and Run, but it is Gabe Ramirez filling in today. Spiegs and Elise Menneker are handling the duties today for the Chicago Cubs. Mike Esposito got pre and post. That starts right here at 12:45 on the Score and the Xfinity Cubs Radio Network. Right now we get to talk a little Cubs baseball with Cubs reporter for the Marquee Sports Network. He joins us now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It is none other than our guy, Tony Andracki. Tony, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I saw Spiegs in the clubhouse this morning. He told me to tell you hello as well.
Oh, look at that. Couldn't just text me. He had to send through Tony. He's big. He's big timing me. He's ant-herring me. If I think that's what I'm getting to right now. No, I'm just playing. He's doing a great job. We're all very happy for him, and I'm glad that he said what's up. So you're at the ballpark right now. I'm assuming, obviously. When you're looking at this game today against the Cards, you know, the first thing that stands out, obviously, to me is the posing pitch, you know, Jordan Montgomery. You're feeling good about the Cubs, you know, taking the last two. You want them to be able to take three out of four here. But with the pitching matchup, it's going to be a tough one today for the Cubbies.
Yeah, I think it is for sure. And I think we're kind of maybe working against the Cubs as well is just the fact that their bullpen has been so heavily utilized just the last couple of days. Their top four relievers, Fulmer, Merriweather, Alzolay, and Leiter have all pitched the last two games. So Fulmer's probably down after throwing two innings to start yesterday. So yeah, you know, your bullpen's overtaxed a bit, and Assad threw like 56 pitches on Thursday. So I don't know if he's available today. So I think the Cubs, you know, if they're going to win, they're going to need a big outing out of, and a deep outing out of Jameson Taillon. But you're right. Yeah, Montgomery's been pitching really well. He's been probably the Cardinals' best starter, I think, for most of the season, if not all the season. But I think from the Cubs' perspective, what they like about this matchup, what they like about just in general about the team, is the resiliency of the lineup. Yesterday was a perfect example. Cardinals take the lead four times. Cubs bounce back, tie it, and then obviously took the lead on that Bellinger RBI, or, you know, two-run single the other day as well. But, like, I think it's the offense, the way they're playing right now, the way they're adding on runs, the way they're getting into teams' bullpens and taking advantage of opportunities, like that's what makes the Cubs feel confident right now that they can pull this game out, that, like you said, they can win three out of four, which they need to do at this point in the season. If they want to make Jed and Carter and the rest of the front office like think about something, they need to start stringing together some series wins. And when you have four-game series, that means three out of four instead of two out of four.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Tony, because it's almost as if the vibe that you're getting or describing from the Cubs is what we all saw at the beginning of the season. A team that was playing hard for each other, still engaged, still wanting to, you know, scrap away and get into teams' bullpens like they're doing right now. So do you think that, you know, especially yesterday, that comes as a result of a guy like Dansby Swanson being back in the lineup?
Yeah, I think that definitely helps for sure. We've seen it from this lineup even before he came back. Like that 17-run game the other night against the Nationals, they were losing 3-0 in that game. And, you know, they really started putting it together like the sixth and seventh innings. They scored 14 of those 17 runs. So, you know, like they've been able to do it here a little bit recently on this homestand especially. But Dansby coming back, yeah, that makes everything the lineup is longer for sure. And Ross pointed to it immediately before the game. And then we saw how it played out, like Dansby in the sixth hole and Morel hitting seventh. And then you have guys like Yan Gomes or Miles Mastroboni or Patrick Wisdom or whatever, you know, hitting like seven and eight, Miguel Amaya today too. Like those guys have been performing pretty well here recently as well. So I think the Cubs just, they do have a little bit of length to the lineup. They like the way that it all looks and that it all kind of plays out as well. So, Dansby coming back is huge. And I think, yes, offensively it helps, but defensively it gets the Cubs to where they wanted to be. And he made some really nice plays that probably went overlooked, I think, in the game yesterday. Dansby did at shortstop, but then it also allows Nico to play second. So now they have like two Gold Glovers up the middle, and then it can allow Morel to play around the field or to do whatever else. But I think it Dansby being back is huge for this team because, like you said, to get to that like best version of themselves, Dansby's on the field defensively, but also helping to lengthen the lineup.
We're talking to Cubs reporter Tony Andracki right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. Yeah, I mean, you really touched on it, and it's what the Cubs wanted from the beginning, right? They wanted a Dansby Swanson, Nico Hoerner up the middle with Bellinger, you know, playing there so that way pitchers can, you know, entice those ground balls and have them being taken care of there. But then comes the Morel piece where, you know, he goes down, then he comes up and now he's here and people see how valuable he is. So where does he go for you? I mean, obviously you're seeing him and you prefer the Swanson Hoerner up the middle. So for you, Morel, where is he playing that is best suited for him and or to get the best productivity from him?
Yeah, that's a really good question that we've all been asking. I think fans obviously have been asking for, you know, over a year now. And I think the Cubs are still asking themselves and trying to figure out internally is what they do with Christopher Morel and what position he plays long-term. in the short term on this team, obviously he fits well as the, you know, with the ability to play second base, where he has looked good, but he's also made some really simple errors, I would say, you know, plays that like definitely should be made. And I would say Nico makes, you know, probably 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10. But he's looked really good, especially turning double plays with that arm there. I think third base is where I would say there's an opening more, because like the Cubs don't necessarily have a third base prospect coming up or a long-term or future solution there. And Nick Madrigal looks good. He's still new at the position as well. But I think just overall, like third base is up for grabs. I think that's a potential area for Morel to like grab and take hold of long-term. But the Cubs need to see more from him. They want to see like fundamental play and particularly on his throws. And we've seen him make just a lot of errors or just misplays over there as well. So I think that's where he'll get a lot of work. He has been working already for the last year plus when he's been in the big leagues. He worked there at that position in the minors a lot, but it feels like that might be the best long-term opening for him. If that doesn't work out, and I don't think the Cubs are going to get, you know, turn the say no or like put that out of their minds just yet, but like they're going to give him an opportunity at some point. I don't know when. He'll continue to work in the offseason. He continues to get work throughout the season. But yeah, it that seems to make the most sense to me, because while they do like him in the outfield at times, their outfield is pretty loaded, especially with Bellinger in town, you know? So like, I don't know. He's going to be rotating this year in 2024 and beyond. I say third base, but I can't guarantee that that's going to be the case either.
Yeah, and it's tough because you want to see him on the field. You want to see him continue to get opportunities and to find a position. But at the same time, I mean, if that's not what it needs to be right now, like Rossi said, right, you're not going to supplant any of the guys that are in the outfield and the vets that are there. And, you know, where you probably are best suited, you're probably not even our best guy at that position, but you need reps. And so that's what we've been seeing from Morel. And you're right, it is the seems like the million-dollar question this year. But I think people, they like Morel, so they're just curious. And they want to, you know, but they also want to hear people's opinions as to where they think. So I'm glad you answered it that way, Tony. And you mentioned Nick Madrigal a second ago. There has been an update on him, right?
Yeah, so he's DHing for Iowa today in AAA. And the plan, before he even started this rehab, the Cubs had this crosstown series on Tuesday and Wednesday. That's what they penciled in for when Madrigal would return, if all goes well. So they're not going to say that right now. Of course, they want to make sure he comes out of the game today, and he is just DHing, not playing the field. But once he comes out of that, okay, which I think everybody's expecting, both teams are off on Monday, I imagine, then that he would be active for Tuesday. I don't know for sure if, you know, that means he's in the lineup, if he's playing third, whatever. But, yeah, I would say that Nick Madrigal is probably back for that crosstown series.
Talking to Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter, right here on 670 The Score. You know, I had a conversation with our producer here, Sean Sears, about, you know, Fulmer starting the game, being the opener. And just that, you know, it's unique. It's cool to see sometimes. And in this situation with Drew Smyly, it felt like you might need to change things up just a little bit to see if maybe that can fix his approach or his start. What did you think of Fulmer opening the game the other day?
Yeah, it was definitely really interesting because the Cubs have very rarely done that. You know, I haven't gone back and researched, but I can't think of the last time that they used a true opener and somebody, you know, going out there for one or two innings, especially a guy who pitched the day before, right? Like Fulmer threw 15 pitches on Friday in relief. So everybody knew he wasn't going to go deep, and he's had a couple multi-inning stints or, you know, over three outs this year. But yeah, like he wasn't going to go deep, and Smyly, again, with the side down, made the most sense as length coming out of the pen. But I think, yeah, it was just the Cubs trying to get Smyly going in some way. He has struggled in the first and second inning this season. His underlying metrics, and we were talking with Rossi about this before the game, his underlying metrics point to a pitcher that is performing better, you know, pitch characteristics and all that. Like it should be a bit better than what the numbers and what the results are. But at the end of the day, the results are what they are. And this is a guy with, you know, a 4 or 5+ ERA and who has struggled really over the last 9-10 times out. So I think the Cubs are trying to do what they could. And really also it's about matchup. Like if Smyly had started, the Cardinals, they have a lot of platoon guys that they could load the lineup, especially the top of the lineup, with a bunch of righties, whereas then maybe they'd play their lefties if they had a righty start. And Ross admitted that, yeah, you know, it was a different position that he put the team in yesterday, because then he had, Ali Marmol and the Cardinals had a bunch of righties at the bottom. So then if Smiley did come in at the bottom of the order, then he would have been facing a bunch of righties. So I think they were just trying to do something, trying to get it going, see if it worked. This morning I did ask Ross if Smiley will be in the rotation or the bullpen coming around, and he said that's still to be determined. So I guess we'll see. But, you know, either way, I think the Cubs are just trying to get Smiley to what the underlying metrics are saying and try to get him back to who he was for the first, like, month and a half or, you know, 7-8 weeks of the season that we saw from him.
It's a beautiful chess match, baseball, and it's one that we see right before our eyes, and I love the way that Rossi is doing it right now. I know he gets a lot of criticism, but, you know, it's a tough gig, I'd say that. If you were – I got one last question for you. So trade deadline obviously coming up. You know, everybody keeps talking about the selling portion of it. Well, I want to ask you from a different perspective and think about it from if you were buying, what would you want for the Cubs in order to make them a more viable contender in Major League Baseball? What would you want?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you're right. That's not one that's being talked about that much, right? Because of the position the Cubs are in and the fact that right now they're still 4 under .500 and, you know, a few games back. And Ross was pointing out before the game here that since June 10th, I think it is, or June 9th, you know, the Cubs are 21 and 16. Like, they're playing pretty good baseball. They're one of the, I think they have a top 10 record over the last 6 weeks of play or so. But they feel like that's a pretty sustainable path for them. You know, the second half schedule for them is a little bit easier, especially than their first half schedule. They're in the midst of that right now with Nationals, Cardinals, White Sox as their opponents for 2 weeks here. So I think the Cubs feel like the best version of their team is starting to show and is ahead of them still. So yeah, I think, you know, in that clubhouse, I know they want to buy versus sell at the deadline. If they stack together some more wins, if they end up buying, I think they need a hitter and I think they need bullpen arms. You know, I think they, whether it's a first baseman or third baseman or whatever, I think they need another consistent bat to go in the lineup, whether it's the middle of the lineup or whatever. And it could be somebody that could DH as well, but I don't think first base, third base, or DH are positions that are really solidified. Obviously, Morel could end up DHing quite a bit as well, but like that, I think is a big area of focus for this team. Getting some more power would be a huge part of that as well. This team, as we said, has a resilient lineup, but they don't always hit the ball out of the ballpark, and that can certainly help that instant offense. And I think in the bullpen, you know, they have four top relievers, and they have Assad has been pitching well, and Palencia is a good, young, exciting prospect, but to get another veteran guy, especially a guy who could pitch high leverage moments and especially a lefty as well. You know, they really haven't had a lefty with Brandon Hughes down all year. Anthony Kay's up now. I think even two arms would make sense for the Cubs if they were buying, you know, maybe a right-handed veteran and a left-handed veteran in that bullpen there. So that's what I would say this team needs if they end up going the route of buying at the deadline here in a couple weeks or in a week.
Tony, you just put a bunch of smiles on a bunch of Cubs fans' faces after that little conversation right there. I'll tell you that. Great stuff, man. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great day at the ballpark.
All right. Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate it.
Of course, Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for the Marquee Sports Network. Just sometimes it sounds good when you're thinking about buying, you know? Makes you feel good. Makes you feel like, yeah, you know what? If we did get these things, if the Cubs did add a Joe Kelly and a Jake Berger,
I'll take a burger.
It'd take a burger and a Kelly.
Yeah, I'll take those both.
Trust me. You'd feel so much better about your team.
You guys want a Nick Madrigal? Lightly used? Miles Mastroboni? Any interest?
There is a no return policy. All right.
We have our receipt, no?
Pat Hughes, the beloved Pat Hughes, was inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday, receiving the Forrest C. Frick Award. And we are going to be playing his speech after this, leading you into Cubs pregame, which begins at 12:45, first pitch 1:20 right here on 670 The Score. But coming up again, Pat Hughes delivering his Hall of Fame speech, something you are going to want to hear because he thanks you, the Cubs fans. Pat Hughes Hall of Fame speech after this. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is 670 The Score filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. And of course, this weekend, outside of baseball, there was something that was spectacular, something that happened to one of our very own members here of 670 The Score, that is Pat Hughes, as he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, a Ford C. Frick winner. And we get an opportunity to hear from Pat Hughes. What did that induction sound like? It gets no better than this.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from beautiful and historic Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's Pat Hughes reporting.
When Pat Hughes was a kid listening to Giants games on the radio, the suggestion he'd someday join Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons as a Ford C. Frick Award winner may have seemed like a dream. From his first major league job in Minnesota to his 12 years in Milwaukee to his incredible current run as the voice of the Chicago Cubs, Pat Hughes has been regaling listeners with his own inimitable style since 1983. Broadcasters from that region have established a long and decorated history as being among the all-time greats, and nobody is more aware of that history than this year's Frick Award winner. Part of Pat's greatness is his detailed understanding of the game and the craft that came before him. He's at once a storyteller, an expert, an eyewitness, and most of all, for radio listeners across the Midwest, a friend. Employing a colloquial style that always seems to hit the right notes, Hughes has been Mike's side for some of the most indelible moments in the game's history.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
If you close your eyes and listen to Pat's perfect accounts of any of those moments, no pictures or video are needed. Descriptions in vivid color. There's an old saying in baseball, respect the game and it will respect you back. Pat Hughes has respected both the game and the craft of broadcasting for over 40 years. And now, as an all-time great, today is the day the game respects him back.
From his earliest days broadcasting in the minor leagues, Pat Hughes has allowed his wonderful voice and his love of the game to guide his path, turning him into one of the best ever to step behind a microphone. After one season with the International League's Columbus Clippers, Hughes joined the Minnesota Twins crew in 1983. Before landing with the Milwaukee Brewers, calling games on radio with Bob Uecker through the 1995 season. Hughes then moved south to Chicago, joining the Cubs radio crew as the franchise began an unprecedented run of postseason appearances. Hughes has now called more playoff games than any other Cubs announcer, becoming the team's only broadcaster ever to describe the final out of a Cubs win in the World Series. Pat has called more than 6,000 MLB games during his career, including 8 no-hitters, a 25-inning contest between the White Sox and Brewers in 1984, and Kerry Wood's 20-strikeout game in 1998. In the classic tradition of the game's legendary voices, Pat conducts the symphony that is baseball, blending all the elements into a narrative that never wanders far from the game's true roots. His passion for the game remains matched only by the admiration of his listeners and his peers. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our 2023 Ford C. Frick Award winner, Pat Hughes.
Last month, I received a humbling letter from a Cubs radio listener who wanted me to wish his dad a happy Father's Day. Dear Mr. Hughes, my dad is a lifelong Cubs fan and he raised his four sons to be as well. He used to record your broadcast on a cassette tape for us to fall asleep to. As a broadcaster, generally it's bad for ratings when part of your audience is snoozing. But Thank you to Jane Forbes Clark and the entire staff here at the Hall of Fame. Thanks to Tom Ricketts and the Chicago Cubs organization for all of your support in being here. And congratulations to the other honorees this weekend. John Lowe is a brilliant baseball writer and a longtime friend. To Carl Erskine for his Buck O'Neill Lifetime Achievement Award. And to the newest Hall of Fame ballplayers, the true stars of this weekend, Fred McGriff and Scott Rolen. It is my extreme pleasure to be with you today in this magical baseball village. I am delighted, proud, and excited, but mainly I am grateful because while the Ford C. Frick Award is a cherished and coveted individual honor, there is simply no way I ever could have gotten here by myself. My family is here. My sweet wife of 36 years, Trish, is the very best friend I have ever had in my life, and a tremendous mother to our two daughters, Janelle and Amber. I love all three of you very much. Amber came all the way in from Colorado on a red eye, so thanks, sweetie, for being here. I really wish my parents were still alive. Virgil and Mary Margaret, they were kind and gentle. Both were educators. Mom was an elementary school teacher. Dad was a college professor. They stressed reading and learning and getting good grades in school, but they also encouraged athletic competition as well. My older brother John is another person who is no longer with us. He had a very, very difficult life. But in college at San Jose State University, John, more than anyone else, got me started in broadcasting. My younger brother Chuck is here all the way from San Jose. I love you, brother. And members of my wife's family are in attendance, brothers Roger and Marvin Anderson and their families. Thanks to all of you for being here. Receiving the call from the Hall was one of life's best ever experiences. So sublime, it's almost incomprehensible. Baseball Hall of Fame President Josh Rawich called me last December. I was at home with Trish. Also in my living room were my great partner on Cubs Radio, Ron Coomer, Odyssey Chicago broadcasting executives Rachel Williamson and Mitch Rosen, and the Chicago Cubs president of business operations, Crane Kenny. Crane was thoughtful enough to hire a video crew to record the moment for posterity. The phone rang, and Josh Rawich says, "Pat, congratulations on being named the Ford C. Frick Award winner for 2023. He said more, but I did not hear another word. My head started spinning with joy and emotion, and I truly wish that every baseball announcer could experience that thrill. Within a moment or two, I see a text message on the phone from the great Bob Costas. "Congrats, Pat, richly deserved. Welcome to the club," and the C in the word club was capitalized, as well it should be. I have loved baseball forever. Like millions of kids all over the world, I dreamed of being a big league ball player someday. I did experience the childhood euphoria of playing on multiple championship teams. I was a decent athlete, but never great. And at about the age of 17, I realized playing pro ball was not going to happen for me. But still, I wanted to make a living somehow in sports. That was my passion, professional sports in particular. Maybe coaching, possibly umpiring or refereeing, two things I did to help put myself through college, by the way. And my older brother John was taking broadcasting classes and dabbling in play-by-play, and he encouraged me to do the same. My play-by-play had a very unusual beginning. At the end of my modest athletic career, I'm playing college basketball, or more accurately, sitting on the bench most of the time. One game, out of sheer boredom, I just started doing play-by-play of my own team during the game. Youngie, pull up, foul line jumper, good again. He's got 10, Spartans by 6. And then I stopped, I didn't want to be annoying. And one of my teammates said, "Pat, you're not that bad, keep that going." So you could say that in my play-by-play career, the first listening audience consisted of the other bench warmers on my college team. sort of an inglorious beginning. But then I really did make a dedicated commitment to play-by-play announcing. On the campus radio station KSJS, I called every game I could, football, basketball, baseball, interview shows, sports wrap-ups. Then I would listen to my own tapes, critiquing myself harshly, eliminating forever things I didn't like hearing, and developing things that sounded okay. And then I began listening with a different ear to established professional announcers, trying to gain insights and ideas. And I've been favorably influenced and inspired by many of my broadcasting predecessors, including, among others, Russ Hodges, Lon Simmons, and Bill King, the Bay Area voices of my childhood. John Facenda, the masterful narrator of NFL films. Vin Scully, Al Michaels, and Marty Brenneman. Bob Costas, Harry Carey, and John Miller. Bob Uecker, and Al McGuire. McGuire, by the way, also taught me how to hitchhike. As I was climbing the sportscasting ladder, I was hired by and worked for some great people, including, among others, in 1979, Jim Reisinger in San Jose, California. 1981, John Petrie in Columbus, Ohio. 1983, Billy Robertson, Vice President, Minnesota Twins. And 1984, Bill Haig, Milwaukee Brewers VP. All of them treated me with friendship and respect. In Milwaukee, I was a radio partner with Bob Uecker for 12 seasons. Last December, when I got the call from Cooperstown, Bob was among the first to text me congratulations. I called him right back. I said, "Bob, I am sure I learned more baseball from you than any other person." He replied, "I probably should have learned the game myself before I tried teaching it to you." Thanks to Bob and to Bud Selig, who was the Brewers' owner for most of the time I was in Milwaukee. In the autumn of 1995, I was chosen to be the new radio play-by-play man for the Chicago Cubs, a big transition, going from small market Milwaukee to major market Chicago. My new partner would be Cubs legend Ron Santo. Ronnie would become a very important person in my life. Thoughtfully, he called me the night before our first Cactus League broadcast. He said, "Pat, I know you're nervous. Don't be. You do the play-by-play. You're going to be fine. I'll do the color. We're going to have fun. Okay? I'll see you tomorrow." As he spoke those words, it might sound corny, but I could literally feel the tension leave my body. I felt very relaxed and ready to go to work the next day on Cubs radio. And the next day, in the very first half inning, Ron Santo and I clicked immediately. After the third out, he stands up smiling and shakes my hand. And the look on his face said, "Oh boy, this is going to be great." And I thought, man, if he gets this excited over a Cactus League game, wait until we get into a pennant race. But it was a special time, and Ronnie and I shared a unique chemistry that became known as the Pat and Ron Show. We spent 15 years together, did plenty of laughing. And around Ronnie, that was not a big deal because he was one of the funniest people I have ever known just by being himself. He could be variously a backseat driver, a fashion cop, a food cop, and a championship chop buster. Now, I never knew Ron Santo wore a toupee, a hairpiece, until one night I found out. Cubs are playing the Mets at Old Shea Stadium in New York, a cold April evening. In the visiting radio booth, right above our heads was this old-fashioned electric heater, the kind that glowed a bright orange when you turned it on. Ronnie and I stand for the national anthem. Halfway through the song, I smell something burning. Then I hear something sizzling like bacon on a stove. Zzz. Then I hear Santo say, "Shoot." I turn to look at him. Ron Santo's hairpiece is on fire. A blue flame is shooting out the top of his head. Smoke is everywhere. I didn't panic. I kept my cool, sort of. I took a glass of water and splashed it on his head. And then he said, "Shoot," a few more times. Now, Ron Santo was a handsome man, but also kind of vain about his appearance. His first thought was, "How does it look?" I lied. I said, "It doesn't look that bad to me." It actually looked like a golfer, maybe Phil Mickelson, had taken a pitching wedge and whacked one right off the top of his noggin. There was a divot in the top of Santo's head. How does it look? We both thought it was very fitting that the name of the Mets starting pitcher that night was Al Leiter. But Ronnie and Harry Carey both went out of their way to welcome me to Chicago way back when, and I will forever be grateful. Harry also gave me some good practical advice about our profession. He said, Pat, when you become a baseball announcer, you don't just sign up for the winning games and the exciting seasons, you sign up for everything. Pretty good advice. After the 2013 season, Ron Coomer joined me on Cubs radio. I'd say I've been pretty lucky with guys named Ron as announcing partners. The 10 years with Ron Coomer have been wonderful. He is simply one of the best people I've ever known in my life. A total team player, a Chicago native, lifelong Cubs fan. He played for the Cubs. He's insightful. He's smart. He's funny. He explains the game in a way that is easy for the audience to understand. Great sense of humor. And by the way, we got to cover a world championship season for the Cubs together. As long as I'm doing radio play-by-play for the Cubs, I want to have Ron Coomer right next to me. A thank you to all the other people I've worked with and shared a microphone with over the years. Currently, the talented Zach Zaidman is the third man in our Cubs radio booth. Zach is a joy to work with. Other third men on Cubs radio have included Andy Mazur, Corey Provis, now a prominent announcer with the Minnesota Twins, Judd Surratt, the radio play-by-play man of the NHL Boston Bruins, and Mark Brody. And I've also enjoyed many on-the-air moments with guys like Bruce Levine and Len Casper, among others. I've worked with some of the best engineers in the country and production people, including Kent Sommerfeld in Milwaukee, and in Chicago, Matt Boltz, Dave Miska, and Paul Zerang. And on the production side, Todd Manley and Stephen Leventhal. Thanks to all of you. In Chicago, we work for great people. Team owners Tom Ricketts and siblings Laura, Todd, and Pete. They want the Cubs to win as passionately as the ballplayers do. And they give us total freedom as broadcasters to just do our thing. Thanks to the Ricketts family. And a very special thank you to Crane Kenny, the Cubs president of business operations. Crane had everything to do with putting me in the Cubs Hall of Fame last year, and he was certainly instrumental in the events that led to me being in Cooperstown here today. Crane, thank you for everything. I'd like to also acknowledge the Marquee Sports Network and their leadership team of Mike McCarthy and Mike Santini. They've been magnanimous enough to include me in some of their programming over the years. Thanks to Mike and Mike. And in 41 years of Big League Baseball play-by-play, I've worked with dozens of programming directors and station management types. The current executive producer of Cubs Radio, Mitch Rosen, is simply the best I have ever worked with. Thank you, Mitch. And in closing, I have a note to Cubs fans. If I was writing you a letter, it might read, "What an extraordinary group of people you are." I want to thank you so much for your unbelievable passion for the ball club and your support of me. When I got the call from Cooperstown last December, I truly think there were some Cub fans who were just as happy as I was with the news. You make me feel like I am a part of your family. You invite me to special events like graduations, bar mitzvahs, and birthdays. And I absolutely love those games at Wrigley Field, those close ball games where you fans are not just part of the ballpark atmosphere, you become part of the ball game itself, and you play a significant role in a dramatic Cubs victory. That happens 4 to 5 times minimum every single season. As a broadcaster, I feed off of your energy. Let me just say, it has been my extreme privilege to be one of your announcers for these past 3 decades. And before my career ends, I hope I get at least one more chance to say something like, "The Chicago Cubs win the World Series." Thank you.
Just an absolute class act, Pat Hughes. Loved hearing that from him. As humble as humble can be. And he will be back on the broadcast Tuesday. As the Cubs face the White Sox. But of course, our guy Matt Spiegel has the call today. He'll be out at Wrigley Field with Elise Menneker, and our pre and post is handled by none other than Mike Esposito. I want to thank all of our guests today, Tony Andracki, Herb Lawrence. I want to thank Chris Rose. I want to thank John Greenberg for hanging out with us today. And, of course, our producer extraordinaire, Sean Sears, for holding us down as well. Next time you hear me on your radios, Tuesday, 6 p.m. right here on 670 The Score. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. Cubs pregame up next. Cubs Cardinals, the fourth of the series, coming up right after this on 670 The Score.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.